Welcome to Career Tools. This week, Hi-I working from home, downfall. The questions this cast answers are, what are Hi-I's likely to forget when working from home? What should Hi-I's do to make working from home more effective? And how can Hi-I's make working from home easier?
Hey folks, we're trying to spread the word as much as possible about our new enhanced licensing deal. If you become a licensee now, it has more value than it has ever had. We have rolled in a number of our digital products into the license so that when you become a licensee, you automatically get access to both interviewing series and resume workbook, which is important right now in light of the frothiness, if you will, of the job market. And the hybrid market makes things interesting. People are making choices and there are openings all over the place. And at the same time, there's more competition because more people realize now is a good time to be looking. So now would be a very good time for you to become a licensee so you can get the interviewing series and the resume workbook and prepare like a professional.
If you listened last week to the Hi-D downfall, the beginning of this cast is going to be the same in that we're going to go and explain what a Hi-D, a Hi-I is, what DISC is, and we're going to go through those profiles. So if you heard it last week and you don't want to hear it again, just skip. We're about 6 minutes in where we start with the Hi-I's. I hope that helps. Sarah, remote working, at least part-time or some days of the week or half the day or some combination is likely to continue for many of us after 2021, whether it's because we like it or because companies have discovered it's cheaper for them not to have buildings, or if it's some other crisis that we right now can't think of. We've proved that remote working can work in a way I'd rather we didn't have, had to prove it. Gosh, there was a lot of hads in there. But we have, and it's going to become one of the range of normal choices that we have about where to work. And if we know that, which we do, I think we can all admit to it, we are going to have to get good at it. And that means avoiding the traps that our behavioral preferences can lead us into. So in this class, we're going to talk to the Hi-I's, but you'll still get benefit if you're one of the others, if only because you'll understand your Hi-I colleagues a little more. We'll do a later series about exactly more detail about how to work with an I, but still, if you listen to this cast, you'll get some value from it if you're one of the other styles.
Our outline for today's cast then is first talking about what is a Hi-I, followed by concentrate, then disconnect, and lastly, slow down.
All the Hi-I's have turned us off now.
I know. Boring.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
So let's explain, what's a Hi-I and what is this terminology?
Hi-I is one of the four DISC profiles. Now, DISC is a self-administered behavioral assessment that measures how assertive or reserved you are relative to how task or how people-focused you are, these being independent variables. And it's got a long history of scientific validity. I mean, we talk about oftentimes in our virtual and in-person effective communicator conferences, the fact that DISC, while not a copyright concept, is something that has got years and years worth of data to support it. Now, in terms of the four styles, the first being Hi-D, we talked about last week, stands for dominance. It's the tendency to exert power and assertiveness. I, which we're talking about this week, influence, has the tendency to assert oneself socially and interpersonally. S, which stands for steadiness, the tendency to engage in reserved, thoughtful behavior. And C, which stands for conscientiousness, the tendency to be reserved and analytical.
I'm going to start with a brief description of each of the styles just so that we have it in our head before we go forward. But there are a ton of podcasts on the site, which we've already done, all about what DISCs are and how to work with them and email and all sorts of different things. So if you go to the website and put DISC in the search bar, you'll see a whole range of things to choose from if you're unfamiliar with DISC.
You bet.
So we'll start with the Hi-Ds, and they're the hard-charging, take-no-prisoners type of people. They take ownership, make decisions, move fast, and break things. And that's Sarah and I to a T.
Totally.
They achieve the goal no matter what the cost. You know, if somebody asks me to do something, and they give me a goal, I'm like, okay, now my job is to work out how to do it. I never say, no, I can't do it. It's just like, I'm going to work out how.
Mm-hmm.
And we get straight to the point. Often our emails are one word, one sentence, because that's all that needs to be said.
Yes.
We are not patient and not good with details. And that's fine by us, because we know that getting to the point and jumping in often has value.
Yes, absolutely. Now, today we are talking about high eyes. So you're the people on the team that could sell ice cream to Eskimos. They're sociable. High eyes are the people that, as you know, you've got a friend in every single department. Every meeting is for the high eyes and is improved by their presence. In fact, if more of their friends are in the room, even better. They're big picture strategy people, right? We're the people that come up with the strategies and the ideas, not the little incremental activities of putting these things actually into process. They're the individuals that help the team see the future, but they don't want to manage the project and get into the weeds and into the details. Details, schmetails. High eyes love emails with jokes, witty sayings, and very big words to support their large vocabularies.
Very true. There's a whole bunch of people that are just going, yeah, that's me.
Mm-hmm.
High S's are the people that take care of your team. They know the names of everybody's family members. They know everybody's preferences and they know everybody's mood. They can tell from the other side of the room if somebody is having a good day or a bad day. They help the team slow down and make sure that everybody's point of view is heard and respected. High S's emails always start by asking how you are, and they genuinely want to know, which is awesome because you're a high I, you want to tell them.
Mm-hmm. And that takes us then to our high C's. High C's, in terms of our concepts, is at the opposite spectrum of the high I's. Your high C's are the data analysts on the team. They're the individuals who are deep into the details. They help get the team get the right things accomplished. They think of every permutation that possibly exists. High C's are really good at identifying roadblocks and problems in all of the strategies you've delivered, which sometimes, I mean, for the high eyes, it makes them seem a little bit, I don't know, stubborn, pessimistic at times. High C's are calm. High C's are very logical. And their communications are slow, structured, and precise, very correct.
So they're the annoying people, but that's okay because we're going to get back to you, high eyes. So the first piece of advice we have for you is to concentrate, because the one thing or one of the downfalls of working from home for you is that you are less focused, that you are distracted by things. And at home, there's a lot of things to be distracted by. There's new distractions that you don't normally have in the office, like family members. And there's things that you can add to the distraction list. Like you can have the TV on. In the office, there is no TV, but now you can have the TV on and you can have someone playing music and you can have another TV in a different room. And
yeah,
you can have all of this input, which sounds exciting, but stops you working.
Exactly.
And there's less of a structure around you that helps you concentrate. When you're in the office and people are watching, you know they're watching you.
You do.
That helps you concentrate and get through the work and stay focused. And plus, you know, all those things like TVs aren't in the office. So that structure has been helping you get through your work. When you get home, it's gone.
Right. Now, for high eyes, your desire to connect with people, you guys, know that it definitely has value for your team and company. And to be perfectly honest, let's be frank here, you have impressive skills in connecting with people, connecting with others. But I gotta tell you, that's not enough. In that, here we are, Wendy and I, we're high D's and there are high C's, and the high D's and C's struggle with connection. And because careers are built on results and relationships, high D's and C's struggle with the relationships piece of it. That's their downfall. Here's the rub, though. Where high D's and C's forget about relationships, you're actually liable to forget about the results part of the equation. Concentrating and completing work are important components of getting results. And without results, guys, it does not matter how good your relationships are. You cannot be successful without results.
And in general, high eyes don't have a pathological inability to concentrate. High eyes don't have, by definition, ADD or ADHD or any of the other things people ascribe to them. Although, if you do, then seek help from some qualified medical professional, absolutely. Not some people you heard on a podcast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there is no reason why you can't concentrate. You just tend to be more excited by something new than completing something you started. When I work in I've worked in the office with Mark, and I'm working, and he's like, "Oh, have you seen this on the Wall Street Journal?" And I'm like, "No, I'm working." But he's like,
"Yeah,
oh, there's something over here that's interesting."
Did you see that car drive by?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, there's certain things in life that we're so used to doing that we feel uncomfortable when we don't do it, or when we do it or have to do it, I suppose, differently. So for example, if you've ever rented a car, you've had that weird sensation when you put your hand out to put it on the gear shift and there's just air because it's in a different location than where it should be because it's in a different location in your car.
Right. Your hand always goes to like
right?
this like, position.
Oh, it's not, oh, you're like reaching around. This isn't right. And the thing about it is high C's, again, your opposite, feel like that when they leave something incomplete. For them, leaving something partially done or beginning something and not completing it feels abnormal to them. In order for them, high C's, to feel normal, they want to complete every task through completion.
And you, on the other hand, don't feel that sensation at all. You feel like finishing the report and submitting it in the system and marking it done on the spreadsheet is
Sisyphean. Sisyphean.
Because by the time you've talked to everybody about it, you're over it. You're like,
boring.
That was last week, done it. And you want something new to do. And again, that has value. You're the ideas person. You're the person who's always moving forward and so on. But there's also value in finishing things too. And you need to learn that. And it's that type of focus that all the way through that finishing that you struggle with.
Mm-hmm. So one suggestion that we're going to make here, or a solution, is for you to write down a list of what you need to do, breaking it down, maybe potentially a single larger task, into multiple relatively small steps. So for example, instead of having a task complete the Wednesday report, you'd instead break it down into multiple steps. So number one would be create a new blank document for the Wednesday report. Then number two would be download, followed by analyze totals. Next up, analyze sales trend, analyze expenses trend. You then write down total summary paragraph, or write sales trend summary paragraph, write expense trend summary paragraph, write your conclusion. Next step, obviously, spell check it, then save your document, followed by the last step, send to the distribution list.
And then breaking the task down like this, even though it sounds silly when you say it out loud and it might sound like micromanagement, but it's okay. If you micromanage yourself, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you smaller targets. So that means that you're less likely to be distracted in the middle of the task. You might be distracted between writing the sales trend summary paragraph and writing the expenses trend summary paragraph. But because they're two different things, yep. You can get one of them complete. And then when you get back to this, you know where you are and you know what to do next.
Mm-hmm.
And each task only lasts 10 minutes, say, instead of write Wednesday report, which is 3 hours. In 3 hours, there are a lot of opportunities to get distracted. For all of us, including those who concentrate well, I can't do 3 hours straight. But if each task is only 10 minutes, you're much less likely to get distracted during the task.
Additionally, if you do, and maybe I should say when you do get distracted, having things broken down into those small little deliverables allows for you, after being distracted, to come back to where you were in the creation of that report. So for example, if you analyze the total and then someone slacks you and 15 minutes later you realize, oh, dang it, where was I? Oh, shoot, I was doing that report. And you go back to the report, because it's broken down into incremental steps, you know exactly where you left off and know exactly where to pick up next.
And to make it even more effective, you can save this list for next week and use it as a checklist rather than having to think through those steps every week. And it doesn't need to be some complicated system. You do not need OmniFocus or an Excel with macros or, you know, any of these things that the high C's come up with. You don't need that stuff. A notebook, a nice notebook with a handwritten list that you can come back to is absolutely fine. We would recommend a notebook rather than a loose piece of paper, just because you're less likely to lose a book, or it's easier to find a book when you lose it than a single piece of paper. But a handwritten list in a notebook, if that's the quickest and easiest way for you to do it, do that. And if later you want to make it more complicated, then go find a high C and they'll do it for you.
Yeah, exactly.
but it doesn't need to be complicated to be helpful.
No. Now, in addition to this, the Pomodoro technique can also be really helpful for high eyes, because it is a process, or a technique, I should say, that creates a finite amount of time to concentrate. The technique itself uses a timer to break down work into intervals, traditionally 25 minutes in length, separated by short breaks, allowing your brain to wander on a set schedule.
I got a really cool timer. I don't know if it has a name. I'm looking. I got it on Amazon, because where do you get everything now? It has 25 minutes and 5 minutes, and you just turn it over and it starts counting down.
Oh, nice.
And then you turn it back and it turns back into a clock. And so if I'm struggling to concentrate on something, which happens, I just turn it to the 25 minutes and it starts counting down for me. I don't have to have anything complicated. I don't have to find one of those countdown clocks on my computer or anything. I just turn it over and it really helps. If you Google Pomodoro technique, there's a million of them. It's Pomodoro, just like it sounds. And there's a million articles that will tell you more detail about how to do it. The other way to do this, or another way to help yourself, is to find a buddy to work those 25-minute intervals with you. Perhaps another high eye, as long as you don't distract each other.
Uh-huh.
If there's somebody else that you know that struggles with this stuff, and it doesn't need to be someone on your team so that you're admitting that you're struggling. It could be someone in the house if you've got someone else working from home, or it could be, someone you know.
If you've got a child that's learning how to tell time.
Oh, yeah, that would be really good. But it could be somebody on WhatsApp or anyway, it could be somebody on Facebook. But, commit. I'm going to concentrate for the next 25 minutes and we'll talk at the end of the 25 minutes and you get 5 minutes to chat and then you do another 25 minutes. And it's surprising how much you can get through in 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Folks, if you're listening and you don't get any emails from us, it's probably because we don't know your email address. And we know that there are hundreds of thousands of you. And I promise we're not somebody that oversends. We're not going to spam you. We're very professional about sending things. And the purpose of us developing a relationship with you is we want to help you succeed. We're fair and honest people. If you haven't figured that out by now by listening to a few podcasts, you never will. And we hope you'll become a free member on the website. Just come to the website and sign up. And that'll give us an opportunity to talk to you and perhaps make you aware of some things you may not be aware of because of the podcast. Yep, the podcast is free. And it's the paying members who help keep it so for those of you whom we don't have your email address. So come to the website, set up a free account. I promise we won't spam you.
Next on our list then, our next topic of discussion is disconnect. Disconnecting from instant messenger, Zoom, your phone, email for short periods will increase your productivity. Now, your love for people is a huge factor in your inability to focus. You could quite happily spend all day on the phone, in meetings, on Slack, potentially I mean, all three at the same time. Why not? Let's multitask. Those of you that are at home alone are even more tempted to connect to people because you're so lonely. It's so boring at home. And you want to connect with other people and get your fix, your people time in. We promise you, you're not going to miss anything if you disconnect from Instant Messenger for 25 minutes. Really. I promise you, if someone really needs you, they're going to call. They're going to email. They're going to, I don't know, send a carrier pigeon. They're going to find you if they really need you. But 25 minutes allows you some time to concentrate.
The problem isn't just that you're less productive when you're spending too much time connecting and too little time on focus work. It's that you're causing other people to be unproductive too. It might be more fun for you to complete a piece of work with someone else or in a meeting, but if the other people present aren't really required, the meeting is costing the company money in the opportunity cost of the work that they're not doing.
Not only that, but you're also destroying relationships with people who aren't like you. We talked about the four different styles. They occur equally in large enough sample sizes. While you personally, obviously as a high I, cannot imagine not wanting to chat with people, brainstorm out loud, or Monday morning quarterback, the other disc types are just humoring you. Even though each of the types has a different tolerance for discussion and reason for listening, none of them want to be in that conversation as much as you, the high I, does. And none of them think the interaction is as valuable as you, the high I, does. That's not to say you should never have those conversations. Yes, of course, have them. But be more aware of other people's limits and their patience tolerance to those conversations.
I was reading something the other day and I was reminded that what your disc style is doesn't matter. It's your adaptability that matters. It's your ability to meet the other person in the middle that matters, not what you want to do. So just having that awareness of, oh, this person is a different style from me. I really want to sit here and brainstorm, but that might not be the best way to do this. And sometimes it is the best way.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like, it's not like we're not saying never. We're not saying 100% you're wrong. We're saying just think about it before you do it and decide. Yes. Make a decision rather than going headlong into what you feel is the best thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Next on our list is slow down. Hi, eyes. Your brain runs fast. And I know, I totally agree. It's full of amazing ideas. To be perfectly honest, you probably had 18 amazing ideas before breakfast today. When you have so many ideas, though, the struggle is you can't possibly work on all of those ideas. And to go a step further, know that the value in an idea isn't just in the idea itself. If you never put it into practice, the value of the idea actually comes from its implementation. So for example, your idea for increasing sales of desserts with a promotion doesn't increase company revenue at all until it's implemented. So that means that of those amazing 18 ideas you had this morning, you need to choose your best ideas and work on them all the way through to completion, or they're not adding value.
And without other people around, you can be tempted to research a new idea, which in your case looks like calling, Slacking, and Facebooking all your friends and asking them about it. Oh, and recording a TikTok and a reel, because that's the best way to find out about new ideas, instead of getting to the implementation of an idea the company has already invested in. Think about, what's my project list? What are the three ideas I'm working on right now? Get to the end of those before you start working on the next idea. And the best thing to do is that notebook that you had, write all your ideas in the notebook so that you don't forget them and they're not lost and they can be worked to implementation later.
Absolutely. Now, in addition to that, you can also be tempted to avoid working on problems, right? And instead, you want to work on a different idea, one that is more positive, right? And one that you see has better outcomes right now. The problem, the hard part from working from home in that is that you have a whole lot of latitude to work on whatever you want. There's no one really there overseeing it, making sure you're working on the right things. The majority of the day, there's no one looking over your shoulder and making you work on certain things or making sure you resolve the problems that you're faced with right now. The only person there to make sure that you're focused on the right things and taking care of your problems is you. And you're going to need to force yourself to do it. But if you do, you're going to be a much more popular and more supported member of the team because everyone else is going to see you as pulling your weight. Really working on the problems and making sure they get solved rather than avoiding your work.
You don't want to be known as the guy that never finishes anything and doesn't pull his weight, right? You might want to be known as the guy who always buys coffee, and that's a great guy to be.
But yeah.
The danger is that you will always be seen as the guy who always buys coffee. That's easy for you. And not be seen as the guy who finishes things and the guy that people want on their team because you don't finish the work.
Mm-hmm.
That no DISC profile is better than any other. It's not better to be an I, although being an I is awesome.
It is awesome.
Obviously. Each style has its strengths and weaknesses. The idea of DISC is to be an instrument to help you understand what your instincts make you do or what your tendencies are when you're not thinking about it. And it can be really useful in that it stops you getting in your own way. And in this case, it's about focusing and concentrating and slowing down a little,
mm-hmm.
which will get you better results in the end.
You bet.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with the high S's. Bye, everyone.